but the stone had not been carried away until recently, when some of our bolder soldiers had taken some from the safe side for use in constructing shelters, which suggested that, chicken shit as they were about the terrors lurking in the past, they were fearless heroes compared to the people who used to live near the place. Made me wonder again about how any fear could persist so strongly for so long, and then wonder if maybe Kina was not somehow connected to that effect. Maybe her nightmares leaked over into the dreams of everybody who heard the name Katovar. So why was I not dribbling down my leg? Maybe I'm too stupid to be scared about the right things. The stone that had been used to construct the fortress wasn't a native rock. It was a grayish sandstone, not only foreign to that slope, it was unlike any stone I'd seen back in the direction from which we'd come. It was not like the stone Long Shadow had imported to build Overlook either. I glanced back at Overlook. The setting sun was sneaking in under the clouds, firing the south face of the fortress. That was one wall that Long Shadow had gotten completed. The metal signs and seals on its face flamed and fairly thundered with power, despite the fallen estate of their creator. "Now that's impressive," I said. "But it doesn't do us any good up here," Isi observed. Glumly, Bucket nodded agreement. Sindawe, I noted, had faded away, gone back to whatever he had been doing before I arrived. "What are these guys doing?" The working parties were marking the slope and ruins with colored chalk dusts, augmenting similar markings that had suffered from the rain. "Defining the bounds of the gate? Different colors mean different things. I haven't learned them all myself. I understand the different dusts will glow their particular colors in the dark if they're excited by the proximity of fireballs. Apparently, they define areas of threat and the level of danger to be expected in each."
"That what they do?" I asked Bucket. He shrugged. "Close enough."
I grunted, moved up closer to the workers. As I did, I began to feel a vibration or a hum that began way down deep inside me. It grew stronger, faster. I asked, "Who's the expert here?" A dirty little man, irritated at being interrupted, unbent his back. I stifled a grin. He was Shadar, despite being small, and in charge of a goonie work party. He had a beard big enough for the usual 6 feet plus of his co-religionists. He wasn't a company man. I had noticed that over here, pledged brothers all wore something to identify themselves, usually some crude version of the fire-breathing skull we'd adopted from Soulcatcher 20 years ago. Maybe they thought that might help protect them from whatever came through the Shadow Gate.
"How may I instruct your standard bearer?"
Oh, that man was talented. Without venturing one inch from absolute propriety, he let me know exactly how he would like to instruct me, right after I bent over and grabbed my ankles. "I'd like to know what you've determined about the layout here, especially where the gate itself used to be, if you know, and where the weakest spots are."
"You want to know where the shadows are getting through?"
"Did the man stutter, Hairball?"
Bucket demanded. I made a calming gesture, easy. "Yes, where they're getting through."
"Everywhere between those two yellow splashes."
The little Shadar scowled at Bucket.
"The red area is what must have been the actual original gateway."
"Thank you. I'll try not to trouble you much more."